If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Good morning and welcome back to Counterculture here with Reality Check Radio. You are with Marie and joining me now, and I couldn't believe it, we just said it's been 5 months since we caught up, writer and host of the Counterpart Show on Epoch Times, Trevor Loudon. How are you, Trevor?
I'm doing great, Marie. How are you?
September. I can't believe we waited so long. September, gosh.
Yeah, that was a while back.
Wasn't it?
And look what's happened.
We were just having this quick little catch-up, and I said, no, we've got to talk about this live. This is so funny. I just said to Trevor, we were talking, first we were going to talk about the media, so I'm going to catch you up live in real time. So since you've been away, Trev, we've had some announcements of some redundancies. Now, at the beginning of the year, Jessica Mutch-Mackay, who obviously political correspondent for TVNZ, has taken a big, fat, cushy job with ANZ. Now, I think she saw some writing on the wall because week before last, TVNZ have announced a whole bunch of layoffs. Around 60 people are going to be laid off. One of the front runners for her job is Katie Bradford.
Yep. Good old Katie. Sue Bradford's little Maoist.
Yeah. So they still haven't appointed that because I think they were wanting to get through all the ups and downs. NewsHub, Trev, did you know about NewsHub?
Well, NewsHub is folding or has folded, is that right?
They're closing the news service from June.
And what about Stuff? Stuff had some...
Oh, watch the space, Trev. Watch the space. It's they have had a round of redundancies in their sports office, and speculation is that is just the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So there's obviously, you know, this all these organisations took lots of government money through COVID. Tons and tons of it to basically spread the government propaganda line. And guess what? People don't like them very much.
Shocker.
People don't like the message.
No. And this, you know, and after 4 years, they're still not reading the room.
Well, I think they're committed now. You know, once you get on the, I won't say the crude word, but once you get on the handouts, it's very hard to get off, and they've got to stick to their Treaty of Waitangi narrative. And, you know, they've got to promote all these politically correct things. I hope this is either going to change or has changed under the new government. But we had state-controlled media for 4 years.
Mm, yeah.
Not just the state media, but the private media, by taking the government money, became under the state wing as well.
Yeah. So there's pressure is starting to be applied that assistance might be required to, quote-unquote, save democracy, Trev. Because apparently democracy is one of those concepts that can only survive with a very healthy media. Somehow I don't think the Greeks actually had that problem, but what do I know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing, you know, if the media needs government subsidies to survive, it's not a healthy media, because it's not giving people what they want. You know, we had a free media in this country for 150 years without government subsidies, which I would say was better than we have now. So end the subsidies. If some of these people go broke, hallelujah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on over here. And of course, there's been lots of our people in the Greens. You and I were texting the other day, and I was filling you in on all of that so you could catch up. So it's all go since the election.
Well, you've got Efeso Collins is gone, which I didn't realise. Mm. You know, and the first thing you think of whenever a young person dies after some strenuous activity, you think, well, I wonder if he was vaccinated. And you can pretty much guarantee he would have been. Now, that doesn't mean there's a causation, but you do start to think this way, don't you?
Oh,
whenever you see somebody that... seems healthy and dynamic, and he was a big guy. He was a sort of strong-looking guy that wasn't obese or anything like that. So
no, it's the whole thing, and because it was so public, it was just absolutely tragic for everybody involved. And then because, I mean, the Greens have had a lot of our people. It started with Elizabeth Kitikiti, and then, you know, we had over Christmas and New Year, the whole Gowras debacle came out, and now then we've had James, you know, stepping down. I mean, step down, was, I mean, did he step down or was he pushed? I mean, who will know? You know, the farce of the so-called election for Chloe and, yeah. I mean.
Well, now you've got Marama Davidson, who is a full-on Marxist, essentially, as co-leader. And now you've got Lawrence Zunan, who has stepped into the breach as well, who was basically a Maoist. He was the head of Asians for Tino Rangatiratanga, a hardcore, radical group. So, you know, any of those Greens out there who still think this is an environmental party, who still think they really care about the pigeons and the forests and all this kind of thing, they should be well out of it now. This is a red party with a little bit of green skin on top, but this is a communist party here.
And look, the only thing green about the Green Party is all their climate hoo-ha, and that's only because of the political leverage that it gives them on other spheres. I don't think they're particularly interested.
Well, exactly. It's a means of control. You know, you look around the world. All the climate change movement is driven by two groups: the hardcore Marxists who want to use it for control, and certain business groups who just cream off the taxpayer to, you know, implement these scams. And so the Green Party is definitely in the Marxist side of that spectrum, and nothing can be trusted of what they say. Nothing at all.
So there you go. That's what's happening at home, Trev. However, primary season over in the US, I mean, people must be getting a sense of deja vu, surely.
Yeah, and not many people really want to see the rematch, but it's obviously going to be Biden. You know, there's always talk about trying to parachute somebody in, you know, the Gavin Newsom or somebody like that, or Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, you know, be parachuted in a convention. I don't see that happening.
Michelle Obama actually definitively ruled herself out to stop those rumors.
And as she has done several times, she, you know, look, she's practically the second Oprah Winfrey over here. Mm. So why would she ruin that gig? You know, she's as rich can be, lives a very comfortable life, is well regarded by the lesser intelligent part of the population. Why step and get her hands dirty? You know, I don't think it's going to happen. What I think the Democrats are relying on basically is massive civil turmoil in the lead up to the election. And if Trump wins, absolutely massive civil turmoil in the lame duck, starting in the lame duck period, straight after the election, before Trump can take over. So Biden's still in charge, technically, you know, because you don't change over till January. So there's over 2 months of lame duck period. So, you know, we've got we're going to see massive violence breaking out probably in the Democratic Party convention shortly. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the Maoist pro-Chinese group that did all the George Floyd riots, they are prepared to getting ready to attack the DNC.
So here is the $6 million question. If they called that what happened on January 6th by the Republicans in that same lame duck period an insurrection, what will they call this if they do the same thing in the same period?
Well, yeah, this is already some of the Democrats are starting to get upset about this because, you know, their agenda is getting away from them now. You know, they have the Democrats opened the borders to get the votes, to get millions more Democratic voters across the border. But what's coming with that is large numbers of Chinese military age men, Russians, Cubans, Venezuelans, Hezbollah, Hamas, and they don't care about the Democrat agenda. They are going to create chaos in the next few months. Plus, we have the wave of, the crime that's breaking out because of the large number of illegals here. Plus, you've got the Israel situation, the Hamas-Palestine situation. So you've got all of these things building up an election year. Plus, you've got Trump out there promising to deport every single illegal immigrant, and which he has to do when he takes office. So you got millions of people have got very good reasons to be upset. Well, not good reasons, but reasons to be upset in through the summer with the Democrats just pushing their left-wing agenda full on. The Trump people, there's a lot of energy behind the Trump movement. And so you've got a recipe for, I think, there's going to be violence, plus what you may see coming directly from China, from Russia, from Iran on our soil. Because, you know, Iran's had networks in this country since the 80s. So is China. So is Russia. So will there be an election? You know, will there be mass turmoil on the streets? Will there be major terrorist attacks? You know, I hope I'm wrong about all of this, but this is the... All of my conservative friends and political guys, military guys, intelligence guys, they are all ready for the first one, ready for the first terrorist attack or the first riot or whatever. You know, every day they're thinking, when's it going to be? And I'm thinking it's going to be probably within the next month, 2 months, when the weather starts to warm up. So that's what we're looking at in America. You know, New Zealanders may not understand how tense things are right now here, but they are tense. You can cut it with a knife.
Well, there's
trouble coming.
So, one of the things that is really, the border, you and I talked about the southern border last time. I mean, that thing's been leaking like a sieve literally since 2020, since Biden got elected. Now, I understand he finally went down there and sort of tottered around. There has been just report after report of a number of independent journalists showing what is actually coming across the border. But I understand Biden, instead of actually supporting the border officers down there to, sieve out what they didn't want coming across, I understand they then have, under the cloak of darkness, have been flying tens of thousands of these migrants across the border in planes into more northern states. What's the story with that, Trevor?
Well, they have sent planes overseas to pick up 380,000. That's the number we're given. Illegals who didn't even have to cross the southern border. And this is planes to Europe and Africa, I believe. So this idea that this is just, we can't control a spillover across the border. No, they're sending planes to foreign countries to bring people in. And I'm also told that the Chinese coming across now outnumber the Mexicans, and they have been expedited. So the only explanation here, Occam's razor, what's the simplest explanation? The Biden administration wants these people to come across. They know that large numbers are potentially violent, military people, Chinese special forces, etc. So the only logical explanation here is they want this because they want to see violence on American soil this year. Maybe as a pretense to close down the election, maybe to go after their enemies, you know, Trump supporters and all this kind of thing, probably all of the above. But there's every reason to think we're going to see some very chaotic situations here. Plus, the communists who control most of the unions here are getting ready for major strikes. They want to close down Long Beach, the major hub into the West Coast, and all of the warehousing in the Inland Empire east of Los Angeles, where everything gets shipped all over the state. So if they can close that down, supply chains are already stretched, you could see some very empty shelves right across America, and that will just fuel the panic. That will just fuel the discontent on both sides.
So then this sort of kind of leads into the state of the nation. Man, someone gave him a shot of adrenaline. I mean, it's almost like,
Something else.
It was to the point, possessed was a word that I would have used. Like he was, it was like almost a weird kind of tent revival. That's sort of the vibe it threw off for me. I don't know what it threw off for you, but he... Well, good. I'm glad I'm not alone on.
You know, a State of the Union is supposed to be a bipartisan, a sober assessment of the strength and weaknesses of the Republic. That was a partisan slamming of the opposition, rallying the troops. That was a call to war, That's essentially what it was. There's never been a State of the Union like it in American history, which tells me there's never going to be this election is going to be like no other in American history. The bitterness and the division has been stoked up for many years now by foreign enemies and domestic enemies, and it's all coming to a climax. And people are quietly buying firearms, they're stocking up on food. And, you know, as I keep repeating, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I've had a reasonably good record of, you know, I read the left-wing literature all the time. That's what I do. You know, 14 hours a day going through left-wing websites, etc. They're getting ready for this stuff. They are quite plain about they're getting ready for trouble because it's all about stopping Trump stealing the election, you see. It's all about stopping police violence and violence of Trump supporters. There is no violence from Trump supporters, but the left are going to have to attack them to make sure they don't, you know, the Trump supporters don't get violent.
And do you think they're having to do this too? Because a lot of the legal efforts now to shut Trump down appear to be just crumbling.
Yeah, well, many of them have crumbled. Many of them will be delayed. There are still some dangers out there. But whenever they do something, Trump's popularity goes up. So they will keep doing that. They will keep pushing it to the last moment, try and get a conviction so they can say, look, there's a convicted felon running for whatever. Because that will suit their narrative later on when they to justify the violence that they commit. Well, we had to. We were defending the Republic from a felon and a criminal. We had to do these things.
The defenders of democracy, Trevor. Come on.
Well, they're defending democracy. They'll cast themselves like the French Resistance. We had to stop the Nazis. Yes, we had to do some violent stuff. Well, that's what you got to do to take down Nazis. So that's the narrative that they're framing, basically, that the Trump and Trump supporters are essentially the yes, yes, and Biden compared them to the KKK, I believe, though the KKK was always a Democratic Party operation, completely a Democratic Party operation. You know, so yeah, it's that polarization. I don't know how much you see from New Zealand, how deep this polarization is here. I guess you see some of it. But unless you're here, I think it's pretty hard to capture the mood that's out there now.
Look, if you were watching the news at 6, Trevor, you wouldn't be seeing any of it. But yeah, you certainly do see an element of it there. And I mean, I follow Epoch Times. For me is actually gold standard for when I'm wanting to see what was going on in the United States because they do such a good job. But yeah, it will be really interesting. And I don't think New Zealanders understand how crucial this American election is, not only to the United States, but the entire Western Hemisphere. Really, our culture, I mean, we've reached sort of this peak woke. A lot of normies have woken up to the manipulation that has been going on and has been going on for the thick end of a decade. They're not liking it, but they're also having to... they're not really quite there in the sense that they don't understand if it goes too far the other way and these people get across the line, the disasters that we could have. And I mean, even though governments are swinging to the right everywhere, we've swung to the right, we're centre-right. I see the Portuguese have now just swung to the right.
Well, they did. I knew it was very tight. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So they both, Montenegro, he got across the line with more than expected, but the very right-wing party did much better than expected. So even though they don't particularly work together, that right bloc is much stronger than it's ever been before. And then, of course, we had Milei last year. I've just had some time in Argentina, and that was fascinating.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And I spoke to heaps of people about the current political situation. What amazed me, essentially everybody was pretty comfortable with the change. They were either full-on Milei supporters or they hated the other guy, so they voted for Milei. Right. So, and as many of them said, well, like, it can't be any worse. I mean, 197% inflation is what it was. before he took over. So the only ones not happy are all the public servants, because he's fired three quarters of them. So balance the books. So there's a little bit of dissent there.
Yeah, and China cut off credit to him almost immediately, which I can understand, because they do not want this spreading all through Latin America, because Brazil is becoming a basket case. Venezuela already is.
Yeah,
most of Latin America is Marxist now. So this is going to be very interesting to see what how Milei does with this.
Well, it does. And see, of course, he's got just across the border in Uruguay, they're voting there. But Poe's successor, so he's on the right, looks like he should carry the day there. And of course, part of the reason for that is Uruguay has been the banking centre for both Argentina and Brazil. And of course, Lula has gone to La La Land. And I think they're actually beginning to wonder whether they must be old mate Bolsonaro. So it's all
going well, they by now. Yeah.
So my concern is that with the American election and also the British election, that if the Brits are going to go to Labour, because they are so fed up with the Tories that they will do anything to get them out. That's what the polls are showing. That's what they're indicating. If the Americans go back to the Democrats again, I'm really worried about the whole wider culture for the Western Hemisphere. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, this is the, you know, every election they say this is the most important in our lifetime. Look, we cannot survive another 4 years of Democrats. You know, they will bring in tens of millions more across the border. They will give them citizenship and voting rights. There will never be another conservative government in American history. America will go essentially communist. And then you will see the Putins, the Xis, the Rocket Boys, the Mullahs just go crazy. There will be no restraint at all. You'll see a world devolve into chaos. So America is like the tent pole that holds the tent up. You pull that tent pole out, you're going to see a major collapse everywhere. And that will be, you know, in the 1930s, we had the major depression. That was followed by World War II. You know, if America collapses, we will see World War III, a heck of a lot more destructive than World War II ever was, or just complete surrender of the West, and then the massacres that will come with that. So, look, any Kiwi, any Aussie, any Canadian, you got to be rooting for Trump here. And he's not the ideal man, he's not the perfect man by any means, but he will do his best to keep the dollar up. He will clamp down on the wokeness and the political correctness. He will stand up to the bad guys of the world. He will reach out to allies and whatever. So that's what's needed right now. You know, that's what we've got. You know, people say, I don't like Trump. I hate Trump. I didn't get DeSantis, blah, blah, blah. I say in the US primaries, you get two votes. You get the primary vote, which is to get the candidate you want. Then you get the general vote, which is to stop communism. Okay. So we didn't all get the one we wanted, you know, in the primary, but there's only one alternative now to stop an actual Marxist takeover of America. And some New Zealanders might think that's a bit hyperbolic, but look, Biden now has 30 to 40 million illegal immigrants in the country. All he has to do is give them citizenship and voting rights, and that's it. It's a one-party state. There is no Republican Party that can ever win again from that point. It'll be California all over America and worse, and the borders will be thrown open, and you won't know whether you're living in Brazil or Guatemala. It'll all be the same from Argentina to Canada. There'll be no difference.
So then the Achilles heel for Biden, could it potentially be the war in the Middle East because of he's been sort of pulled both ways, one by the woke and critical justice Palestinian supporting progressive, extreme progressive left, and then of course his very, very wealthy Jewish donors on the more centrist left. Could that potentially be his undoing?
Yeah, that is a problem for him. And that's the space that, you know, when I say the Freedom Road's going to attack the Democratic Convention, they are doing that to push this Palestinian far-left narrative. See, Biden's on board with them, But he has got to understand that he understands also there's a large Jewish vote in America. There's a lot of Jewish, wealthy Jewish backers of the Democratic Party. He's got to pretend to be supporting Israel while sabotaging it. You know, he says, I support Israel, but Israel can't go after Hamas, and I'm going to build a bridge so I can supply Hamas, a pier so I can supply Hamas. By the way, I'm going to give a whole bunch of money to Iran, which supports Hamas. But I support Israel. You know, this is his double game. And this is really the bind that the Democratic Party are in now. They've got two problems. A, Biden's a terrible candidate and Kamala Harris is worse. And the other one is the Israeli thing going on here. And now the building backlash amongst Black, Latino, virtually every American community is standing against the illegal immigration now. It's affecting every major city in the country now. So that's all a big problem. So that is what makes me think with all of that, I think they will try and do something to not have an election. Whether they can succeed or not, I don't know. But they will welcome anarchy and chaos in the streets. They'll welcome an external war because then the people rally behind the president, you know, no matter how despicable
he is.
You know, that's the only way out of it to lose. But their backup plan is if they lose, and I think they probably will lose if the election goes ahead. If they lose, then the chaos is just going to be, it's going to be like what we saw with George Floyd, and straight after Trump's first election, or way worse, with foreign help, with a whole bunch of people in the United States that have come here over the last 20 years waiting for the signal, waiting for the day they leave their kebab shop and go and pick up their stash of weapons and shoot up and poison the local reservoir or whatever they're going to do.
You're always such a ray of sunshine, Trevor. Have you booked your tickets back for New Zealand for this Christmas? Because it sounds like you might need to if this comes to fruition.
Look, the trouble is, you know, you could get trapped here. You know, travel might be shut down. Electricity might be shut down. Look, I'm not going to leave America with my tail between my legs. You know, I'm going to stay here. You know, if I go, you know, and I, my ideal life would be 6 months in New Zealand, 6 months here, so, you know, swapping around. But this is a critical time here. If America is lost in the next year or two, you can forget about New Zealand. You can forget about Australia. The Chinese will just have us in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, it was interesting because, I mean, I track the weekend printed newspapers that I do for another show. And there was one article last a few weekends ago, some weekends you get the newspaper and it is, I mean, the only thing it's good for is lighting the fire, which I do with glee just to upset my green friends. And there was very little in there. And there was one article in there from the Telegraph. So it wasn't even, you know, I mean, it was a subcontracted piece. And it was around the concerns that they had of the Chinese influence within Micronesia. So coming in from, from the bottom of that peninsula, the Southeast Asian peninsula, across into Micronesia, Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea. And of course, the Americans have got a little bit of influence there, but the money that the Chinese are pouring and have been pouring
into Papua New Guinea now, this is East Timor, this is Vanuatu, this is Fiji. All of them have got massive Chinese influence, let alone what we have in New Zealand, let alone what we have in Australia, and that's going to increase under Albanese, who is a Marxist, a full-on Marxist. So, you know, this is going to take, I wish Christopher Luxton was Winston Churchill, because this is what it's going to take to stand up and say no more immigration from communist China, no more land sales to communist China, no more, you know, investigations into the influence on both main political parties from communist China. You know, they've got massive influence in the country, and none of it to the good.
Interestingly enough, Winston Peters is just, he's actually just been to do a trade mission across in India, in that part of the world, because of course, you know, the Indians are screaming out for trade with New Zealand, and yep. And they've always been a difficult nut to crack, but the discussions now are open. And Winston, of course, Winston Peters is somebody who's been very acutely aware of the Chinese influence in the Pacific, and he was stoutly criticised for his $1 billion to the Pacific, which I think was part of the 2017 coalition agreement, or may have even been sooner. But now you can see why, you know.
Yeah. You know, we could see a Chinese military base in Micronesia in the next 5 years, and that will alter the whole balance of power in the region. You know, we need to understand the Chinese see New Zealand as the gateway to the Antarctic. And it also would be a lovely staging base for missiles to attack over Antarctic up into the Northern Hemisphere. There's all sorts of, because America's not defended from the south, you see. Mm. Where all America's missile defenses were aimed for attacks from the Northern Hemisphere. So if you fire a rocket from South Africa or South America under the Antarctic and come back, or even from Latin America and up through Panama into America, there's no missile defense there. You know, it's just wide open. It's like what happened in Singapore when Singapore in World War II, the Japanese, all the guns in Singapore, defending Singapore, were faced out into the ocean because that's where they thought the Japanese would attack. So the Japanese came through the jungle and took Singapore from behind and just basically took the place with hardly firing a shot. And so that's how America is. People think America is all impregnable. It's not at all. You know, Russia's got a far better civil defense system and missile protection than America has. And China doesn't care how many people they lose because they got so many. They can, you know, they believe in a war, they would lose a couple of 100 million people on the coast. That's all right, because that's expendable as long as they win. As Mao said, it doesn't matter if half the world's population is lost as long as the rest is communist.
As I said, such a ray of sunshine.
We've got to face reality. You know, we're living, you know, New Zealand is living a little bubble in the South Pacific.
Hmm. Because the other side of that, of course, is with a potential Biden loss, is that we haven't even got onto Europe yet. And, I mean, they've just allowed Sweden into NATO and to much fanfare. I mean, Ursula von der Leyen must be really panicking that Biden doesn't get back in again, because I think that will turn off the little Ukraine spigot, wouldn't it? I can't see Trump. He's not fond of funding foreign wars.
Yeah, but look, when Trump was in power, he did more to fund Ukraine than anybody. And he kept Xi in his box, and he kept Rocket Boy in his box, and he kept the Mullahs in their box. I think there'll be around. Look, Biden is not really helping Ukraine that much. You know, Biden is doing the very bare minimum. This is what I think Biden would like to do. Biden's setting a trap for the Republicans here. Because Biden has lukewarm support of Ukraine, Republicans don't want to support Ukraine because they don't want to be on the same side as Biden. But Biden has slow-walked everything he possibly could. He basically told Putin that a limited incursion into Ukraine would not warrant an American response. He's deliberately kept world oil prices high, which is what Putin is using to fund his war with. All of the things he's doing are actually helping Putin, but he's just like Israel. I love you, Ukraine. I'm going to help you. But he's doing secret deals with Putin at the same time, just as he's doing secret deals with Iran behind Israel's back. So this is what I think. What Biden doesn't care about, but if Ukraine collapses or loses the war this year and there's millions of refugees through Europe and Russian troops on the borders of NATO, Biden will go, see, the Republicans cut off the aid. We tried to support Ukraine. You dirty, rotten, pro-Russian Republicans, look at what you've brought the world to. The Republicans are walking into a huge trap here by tying border control to Ukraine aid, because Biden doesn't want border control, but he doesn't want Ukraine aid either. And this is what the Republicans don't understand, because he can, if a Crane wins, he will take full credit. And if a Crane loses, he blames the Republicans. So it's win-win for him.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone knew that 2024 was going to be one of those years with so many elections going on, but it is, you know, the next 6 months it will see and I think reveal so much to so many. So it will be very, very intriguing, Trev. Is there anything that you feel that we're missing, we haven't talked about this morning, that I've missed out?
I think the little ray of hope, and we always want that, don't we?
Is that, yes, please.
all around the world, you're seeing the populist uprisings. And that is big time in the United States. Very, very big time. I travel all over the country, speak to groups everywhere, and everywhere you go, there's new Christian political groups, there's Moms for Liberty groups, there's a whole bunch of young people joining the GOP and joining the Trump movement and whatever. Because they sat at home for a couple of years, you know, through COVID, reading their kids' school textbooks. They saw their election stolen. They saw the Chinese destroy their cities with Black Lives Matter. They saw the pandemic. They saw the lockdowns, everything. And they finally woken up to the fact that they could lose the country. And so you're seeing a massive upsurge. So if Trump wins this, it isn't going to be business as normal. This is going to be a gutting of the socialist state. Mm-hmm. This is going to be pushing back socialism 50 years back.
Mm.
And that's going to inspire people like Milei. And Milei is going to inspire people in Latin America. And so if and Honduras with Bukele and
El Salvador, I think. Bukele, isn't it?
So it's El Salvador, sorry. And what's happening now in Sweden and Holland and other countries. There is a pushback. You know, this is a war between the common people and the elites, the communist elites, the globalist elites, who basically overlap a lot. And so I think we're actually in a better position than what we realize. I think the elites are in major trouble. They're certainly in major trouble in the United States. There are major trouble in places like Canada and Europe. But we need that big victory in America and that the repatriation of the illegals, the dismantling of the deep state. You know, Trump's going to fire 10,000 people as soon as he gets in, you know, and I think he'll be inspired by Milei and go a heck of a lot further. So I think we're on a cusp. You know, this is a time where in a year's time we're either going to be spiraling towards much worse or we're going to be on the way to recovery. We're going to be, and it's not going to be even. There's going to be wins and losses in the way, but I think that the corner will be turned one way or another in the next year. So I'm basically an optimist. You know, this is my view. Most people, when they see harsh things are coming, they want to turn their head away. You know, like if you've got a lump on your shoulder, you think, I don't want to go to the doctor. He might tell me it's cancer. I just want to ignore this for a bit longer, you know. That's the natural human reaction. But your chances are always better when you confront reality. Mm. And that's why when I give my speeches, I'm pretty harsh. I lay it out. You know, we are in a communist revolution in America, and it's 80% completed, and we're hanging on by a fingernails here. You know, all this BS about the military secretly in control and all this, it's just fantasy. We're hanging on, but the people are more awake than they've ever been. And you got to say the same in New Zealand, in Australia, and Canada, and many other countries around the globe. And that's why I say that the greatest victories come from the darkest times, because that's when the good people finally get off the bloody fence and do what they should have been doing all along. And that's the point we are coming to now.
There you go. We'll end on a little rare hope, shall we?
Look, as we used to say in New Zealand when I was a kid, the goodies always win in the end. Right?
Yeah, it will be absolutely fascinating. One thing I do wonder is that there are, of course, those with complete Trump derangement syndrome, but they're beginning to see through Biden. And my little dark sheep in all of this is how many of those Democratic votes will RFK Jr. actually steal away that may actually be enough to balance things in favour for the
Republicans. Well, that's right. You know, he will take some Trump voters as well. He will take some of DeSantis voters. But, well, that's the way they talk now. But when things get tighter, when people get over their bitterness and disappointment and actually face the reality of the binary choice that we have, either a flawed guy who stands for freedom or a senile guy who stands for communism, you know,
he's the fly in the Democratic ointment, because I think that there are a lot of voters on that Democratic side that will never be able to bring themselves to vote for Trump ever, but they will see that Kennedy name, and especially if they are sort of immigrants, second generation immigrants and from that working class, I think he may, and I think he's standing on a platform of unity, so he may sort of sneak a few of those away. And I wonder whether or not the Democrats are actually not giving him enough deference. That could, again, be another Achilles heel in there.
Well, I certainly try not to give him any oxygen. I'll tell you that. I try and ignore him as much. Yes, look, anything could happen in this current environment. Plus, you've got the No Labels Party that's coming up, which says it's a moderate, middle-of-the-road party, but its co-leader is a former Nation of Islam Communist Party USA supporter called something Chavez. You know, you've got a lot of deception going on out there. But I think ultimately it's going to be binary. But, yes, these other parties may take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% of the vote. Who knows, maybe even more, and could have an influence. But it's right now, this is America's year of choice, but everybody around the free world, what's left of the free world, should be engaged in this and following this. If you're a prayerful person, pray for this, all of it, because how this election goes is going to determine how your kids live their lives.
Mm. Indeed.
You know, and maybe you, how you live your life.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching it for, as I said to you previously, I've been watching American politics for years, having lived there. And yeah, I don't think a lot of Kiwis realise the impact that these two, it's in the British election too, to a stronger and lesser degree, will actually have on all of our futures in the next coming years. So, Trevor, this is not our first date this year. I definitely know that. We've got a lot to catch up with as the year goes. So go well, my friend. I do appreciate your time this morning. This is Trevor.
Oh, look, it was a pleasure, and great to hear a Kiwi accent, and not a lot of them in Southwest Florida, I'll tell you.
No.
And thanks to the listeners. Thanks to everybody, and thanks for changing the government.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that.
We've actually been hitting the headlines a little bit, Trevor, with the demise of the legacy media, because they've all of a sudden realised that we have actually a really strong, amazing listener base, and we've just ticked over our 1 year. I mean, who can believe it? It's been a year. And it is certainly going to be, I think, stations like us are poised now to actually be able to provide alternative information. So thank you for talking to all our listeners as well. We really do appreciate it. Trevor Loudon here on Counterculture. Thanks, Trevor. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.